The resolutions are typed out, or scribbled on a blank sheet of paper, or a napkin lying around. People are reflecting, thinking about who they are and what they could do to be their best selves. It's a new year. And wouldn't it be nice if, as the ball dropped, the frustrations and fears and battles from the past year just melted away? If we could reinvent ourselves or a part of ourselves and begin anew. But the person we are at 12 o'clock, January 1st, versus 11:59, December 31st, is the same person. And the struggles we've battled with from the past year are still there, staring us straight in the face. They don't care that it's a new year. Our individual selves are still the same at the new year, flaws and imperfections and all. And the horrors and injustices which reside in our country are still the same. It is a new year, full of possibility and wonder, but the looming fear of another public shooting still sits in the air. Transgender and gender nonconforming people are still faced with the threat of their identities being erased by the government. Black people still must live with the fear of being shot or arrested, though they committed no crime. Migrants at the border seeking a better home are still being met with utter hostility and violence. So what do we do? It's a new year, but the grief of injustice still holds strong in many of our hearts. What do we do? Well, we could keep our eyes glued to the news, watching the horrors unfold, pondering, what can I do, but finding ourselves stumped, so we stay put, eyes still glued. Or we could turn away and close the blinds as reality runs its course outside, but we're left with a feeling in the gut of guilt and shame. Many of us here have the privilege to turn away or wonder what we should be doing. Others, though, have no choice but to stay aware and feel the fear of these injustices because their lives and identities depend upon it. Maybe there is something that rests deeper than fear, than guilt and shame, than bewilderment, something that is hard to grasp onto, but once found can be a beacon of unwavering light as we face our own personal battles. There is a possibility of something to hold on to help guide and give us strength as we confront our grief and the world's grief. But what is it? Writer Anne Lamott calls it love. She writes, "We have been redeemed and saved by love. Love has bridged the high rises of despair we were about to fall between. Love has been a penlight in the blackest, bleakest nights. Love has been a wild animal, a poultice, a dinghy, a coat. Love is why we have hope." Love could be the name of that source, that thing we grasp a hold of when we don't quite know how to carry on. Unitarian Universalist minister Victoria Safford has a different name. She writes, "I am interested in what Seamus Heaney calls the meeting point of hope and history, where what has happened is met by what we make of it. I am interested in hope on this side of the grave. For me, there is no other kind. And in that tidal wave of justice that could rise up, if only we would let it." Safford names her guiding source hope, a strong, sustaining hope which we can call forth when faced with difficulty. There are many names for what guide us through, what awakens our minds and souls, puts our hearts at ease once in a while, gives us the strength to go back out and resist. The name that I like to use is resilience. Resilience is my guiding source, my penlight, what I hold on to when I'm confronted with grief or fear or despair. Having lost my mom to cancer when I was 5 years old, I've had plenty of opportunities to become familiar with hard realities. I've stared grief in the face and pleaded for it to disappear. And through that, somehow, I found not what I was pleading for, but a thing to return to when it's hard to carry on. Resilience is confronting harsh realities, feeling the grief of them like a weight on your soul, and somehow emerging out the other side, not necessarily tougher or even braver, but with the affirming knowledge that you survived despite it all. Much like a tree emerging beautifully and boldly out of rock that is blocking its path. Resilience can be found and built anywhere. A person who feels lost or broken might find their resilience in a group of people who remind them of their strength and worth. Resilience lies in beloved communities where diversity of ideas and identities is welcome and accepted in a time where that doesn't ring true often. It can be found and built through years of protests and resistance against powers which lead through fear and ignorance. Sometimes, resilience can even be found in a cup of coffee, which the story illustrates. Once upon a time, a daughter complained to her father that her life was miserable. She didn't know how she was going to make it. She was tired of fighting and struggling all the time. It seemed just as one problem was solved, another one soon followed. Her father, a chef, took her to the kitchen. He filled 3 pots with water and placed each on a high fire. Once the 3 pots began to boil, he placed potatoes in 1 pot, eggs in the 2nd pot, and ground coffee beans in the 3rd. After 20 minutes, he turned off the burners. He took the potatoes out of the pot and placed them in a bowl. He took the eggs out and placed them in a bowl. He then ladled the coffee out and placed it in a cup. Turning to her, he asked, "What do you see?" "Potatoes, eggs, and coffee," she hastily replied. "Look closer," he said, and touched the potatoes. She did and noted that they were soft. He then asked her to take an egg and break it. After pulling off the shell, she observed the hard-boiled egg. Finally, he asked her to sip the coffee. Its rich aroma brought a smile to her face. "Father, what does this mean?" she asked. He explained that the potatoes, the eggs, and coffee beans had each faced the same adversity, the boiling water. However, each one reacted differently. The potato went in strong and firm, but in boiling water it became soft. The egg was fragile, with a thin outer shell protecting its liquid interior until it was put in the boiling water. Then the inside of the egg became hard. However, the ground coffee beans were unique. After they were exposed to the boiling water, they changed the water and created something new. "Which one are you?" he asked his daughter. "When adversity knocks on your door, how do you respond? Are you a potato, an egg, or a coffee bean? Which one are you? When adversity has knocked on your door, how have you responded?" Oftentimes in society, we are presented with a false binary. We can either soften and dissolve in our despair when faced with the boiling water, like the potato, or we can harden our exteriors and hide the softer, more sensitive parts of ourselves, like the egg. But resilience breaks that binary and gives us a third option, to be like those coffee beans, to change the boiling water we've been thrown into, to create something new and beautiful in response to what we have struggled through and emerge bolder than before. Now, this is much easier said than done, and oftentimes we do react to adversity like either the potato or the egg, but that is completely okay. When that happens, we can lean on one another and remind each other of the sources of our resilience, of the art that inspires us, the friends who lift us up, the communities that support us. We can remind each other that we can be resilient as we are, rough edges, sensitivities, flaws, imperfections, and all. Because resilience is not always tough and strong and brave through and through. It is not no sign of weakness or tears or grief. It isn't perfect or unwavering. It is not a rock. Resilience is much like a tree growing out of the most unlikely place. Its roots taking hold of something stronger and more sustaining than what is blocking its growth. Its branches emerging and eventually growing leaves that are beautiful and covered in spots that are fragile and strong. Resilience is tears shed and songs sung and born out of scars. It is imperfect and can sometimes get lost, though it is stronger than fear. Resilience helps us to see the possibility of a world from up above the rock, the possibility of a world born anew. It is a new year. Many of our personal battles are still in full gear. Injustices from the past year are ever present and weighing on our hearts and minds. New ones will come soon. But if we can find that place in ourselves which rests deeper than the exhaustion we feel, than the fear and the grief, if we can find our resilience, the possibilities are endless. And you might be in need of some new possibilities. If you feel beaten down and tired, or if you're feeling a little more broken than you are whole, the thing you are searching or pleading for might feel out of reach, but the ability to carry on despite it rests within you already, and in the hearts and minds of those who will guide you back to those sources of resilience. And you can use that newfound resilience to introduce the world to some new possibilities, because it is in desperate need of people to be truth tellers, protesters, believers of justice, and radical compassion. The world is in need of new possibilities, and you, with your resiliency, could provide them. The possibility of resilience could transform us. It could transform the world. Together, we can make it so. Amen.